Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Right now we're joined by Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. It's Thursday, so it's close to the weekend. It's always a good day. I love Thursdays.
I love Thursdays because you get Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. I have to spend a lot of time deciding on my fantasy football lineup. Nate, don't forget, set your lineup.
I know. I
had some issues last year, you know. That Thursday game. Right, sneaks up on you. But it's been a emotional week, Jeff.
I can imagine.
A very emotional week.
You love Thursdays because you get to come in here and talk to an emotional Stephen St. John.
Yeah, a different kind of emotion last week than what I'm seeing over here.
Highs and lows.
NFL football, what they give you.
It was a hell of a game. And what are your main takeaways from what you saw on Sunday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Ravens?
It was a lot like the Browns game, only in reverse, right? I mean, the Chiefs were the team that had the lead most of the game and wound up making some big mistakes late that opened the door. And even the interception that Mahomes threw looked eerily familiar to the one that Mayfield threw in that game, that season opening win for the Chiefs. Obviously, that clinched the game in that situation, so it was a little bit different. But look, it's the takeaways are obvious. Defense stinks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is got some issues. I think it was a good loss, if that makes sense. I think if you win that game, you can come away with a little more heightened belief in yourself than you probably should. I felt that way after the Cleveland Browns game. I think you can walk away saying, well, they won it, but there were a lot of things that you didn't like about that game coming out of it. And so when you lose a game like this, you come back, you have a better mentality, you have a better resolve about fixing things. I think the things they have on defense that are going on aren't that easily fixable. I was of the belief, you know, for all the people who call me a Chiefs hater, that the defense will be better with Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark back and had a chance to be probably as good as it's ever been.
Hater!
You know, during the Mahomes era, and that's not going to be the case, obviously. Like everybody else, I have questions about why Juan Thornhill has been playing more or why they're doing certain things schematically, why they didn't adjust the way they did with Chris Jones playing at defensive end. We were joking about that in the break. They got a lot of problems to fix, and this was a very difficult stretch. This is the most difficult stretch of their schedule because they're going to see, I think, through the first 7 weeks, they'll see four or five playoff teams, you know, two or three who won divisions, and another good running team in Tennessee in there. And so, yeah, I mean, they got some problems.
Will they see better running teams in these first 2 weeks?
Tennessee runs it pretty well.
Yeah.
That guy down there.
He's all right. He's all right.
I heard he's okay.
Yeah.
He's okay. Ask Seattle about him. He can do some damage.
But I mean, like the Browns, known for having like maybe the people say the best offensive line in the NFL, and the Ravens being known for just the scheme and the difficulty of having to defend a quarterback who runs the ball all the time as well. Or no, I mean.
Well, look, I hear what you're saying, and I've heard that argument already this week. The Chiefs are measured by winning championships. You know, so the idea that, okay, they're not going to see anybody who does that anymore doesn't really fly because they're going to have to play somebody who does that at some point to win a championship.
Right.
So for me, it's like, yeah, okay, you'll see teams that aren't going to run the ball less, but I guarantee you, you're going to see teams who are going to try to run the ball more now.
Sure.
Because until you can stop it, they're going to start doing it. And so Chris Jones, yeah, get ready for a whole lot more of that coming your way in the next few weeks.
So the one of the big things that there's been this debate about how you beat the Chiefs, there was a narrative that a lot of people said, well, you run the ball like crazy, you keep their offense off the field, you don't let them get out there. And then people on the Chiefs side of things have been saying for a couple years now, that never works. people say it all the time, but teams don't beat the Chiefs by running the ball all the time. Is that out the window now? Is that, you know what I mean? Like, where what's the truth on that? Because some people said, well, now, no, what you really got to do is you got to score with the Chiefs. You're never going to be able to run the ball enough and score enough to beat them because they can score whenever they want. So what's the truth?
You got to score touchdowns no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs.
And, well, yeah. and the Chiefs in the red zone defense is right. Not very, well, very good.
I think a couple things about that. One is the Chiefs are transitioning into a different incarnation of themselves. I think it's easy to look back and say this is the same offense they had back in 2018 when they were scoring almost 40 points a game, and it's not. They got six new starters on offense. You know, really, for me, when I watched them play, I thought this in the Browns game. This offense comes down to Mahomes, Hill, and Kelce. Now, some guys made some plays in this last game, which was good to see. But ultimately, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're saying other guys have to beat us. There's a greater likelihood of bad things happening if Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the ball, if DeMarcus Robinson is getting thrown the ball, if Byron Pringle is getting thrown the ball, if Mecole Hardman is getting thrown the ball. So when you take away Tyreek Hill, as it happened on against the Ravens, or when you take away Travis Kelce, I think it's much harder for the Chiefs to go out there and dominate offensively. And so, yeah, I do think running the football is part of the equation, but I don't think it's the only part. I think if you, for me, what I've seen over the last couple of years is that if you're willing to play two high safeties, if you're willing to have a balanced offense and you have a quarterback who can pick up on what the Chiefs are doing in their secondary and you can get to Mahomes before, you got a chance to win. You got a good chance of winning. The last three times I've seen them play a team that's played a lot of two high safeties, they're 1-2. And they probably should be 0-3, going back to the Super Bowl. And so until they can find a way to run Clyde Edwards-Helaire consistently or somebody, they're going to see a lot of two high safety. They're going to see a lot of conservative coverage. They're going to see a lot of doubling of Hill down the field. And, you know, I'm sure Kelce's going to see his share of doubling at some point, more likely in the red zone, but that's the way it's going to be.
Jeff Chedia is our guest. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Obviously, we focus on the fumble that pretty much ended the Chiefs' chances of winning. But he hasn't lived up to what would be expected of a first-round pick, right? We were having this conversation after week one, even before the fumble. Many people anticipated, it still can happen, it's only 2 weeks, anticipated that he'd be a bigger factor as a receiver. Nine different guys caught passes on Sunday night. He wasn't one of them. Did he even have a target? I don't think he had a target. And so now we're to the point where we'd like to see more Jerick McKinnon out of the backfield because he is a good receiver. We do know that, and maybe it's still they don't totally feel comfortable with him in pass protection. I don't know. But right now, what is your opinion of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and what are your expectations of him moving forward this year?
Well, it's the same opinion I had before, which is he's a solid player. I think he can do some things really well. He's not a big guy. He's not especially fast, which is a really bad combination to have when you're not a big guy.
Yeah, because I said he's not a home run threat.
Yeah.
To me, he's more of a grinded out guy, right?
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe this is my eyes, what I see. I'd look at film and study it more closely. I think he looks better coming downhill, on downhill runs. I don't think he looks really useful when they're running read option stuff and he's going sideways because he's just not quick. He's not fast. Now, some of this stuff, you got to look at the offensive line, too, and say they got to do a better job of blocking. I know the running back gets all the grief, and he was the guy who fumbled, but at the end of the day, the holes don't look that big either that he's running through. And so this offensive line was supposed to be more physical, more capable of road grading and doing these kind of things, and I'm not seeing that either. But, yeah, I think there are some questions, and it goes back to him being drafted in the first round. And you mentioned the running backs they could have had who have looked good. DeAndre Swift looked good running the football in that Detroit-Green Bay game on Monday night. Jonathan Taylor obviously was a 1,200-yard rusher for the Colts last year. That if they want a certain kind of runner in this offense, a guy who's going to be a threat as a receiver, then I want to see him throw the football to him more. If he can't get it going running it, yeah, toss it to him in the flat, screens, whatever. Like, all this talk about the screen game, I haven't seen a screen yet. And so, and part of this is circumstantial. You know, they were down a lot in that Browns game. The Ravens game was, you know, maybe a little different story. They weren't seeing the kind of fronts and the kind of guys racing upfield that allows for the screen to really develop and be an explosive element in your offense. But this was always a luxury pick. And my problem with it at the time was you could have found other players to help you on defense, and you went this route. And so if he's not helping you right now on offense, you should be taking a lot of criticism for that. And look, it sucks for Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. I think he'll be okay, but I don't think he'll ever be a special player in his offense. And you look what's behind him, I don't see anybody else there who can be a better runner than him. And so that's what scares me too, is like, can they ever really have somebody who's going to help them in this offense this year in that backfield as a runner? I'm not seeing it right now.
And see, the question that I've had and what I felt was, okay, so you knew what you had, and I know Damian Williams opted out, okay, but that's who you compare him to, because we saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, and Damian Williams, especially in that Super Bowl, was a big part of it, right? Mm-hmm. For Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for them to be able to justify spending a first-round pick on him and ignoring guys like, I'll say it again for the millionth time, In the mock draft I was on ESPN Radio, I took
Antoine Winfield.
Antoine Winfield Jr. was.
I think it was, but
yes, it was.
You clarified that for me.
Yeah, I did clarify that, and then he gave the peace sign to Tyreek Hill, and I went for a long walk by myself. I felt like okay, and they pumped it up. Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, wanted this guy too. He was all about this pick. It's great. And then we heard the comparisons. Boy, Andy Reid thinks he's, you know, could be better than Brian Westbrook. I was like, great. Okay. So we're going to see some dynamic stuff. And he's been, like, he's been a solid running back.
Yeah, hadn't been a bust.
I haven't seen anything that screams, wow. So he's so much better than Damian Williams that they needed to spend a first round pick on him. He's so dynamic. I feel like when I watch him, like they could have got that in the third or fourth. I mean, you know what I mean? Whatever. When you're drafting the guy in the first round like that, there's got it at running back, and Jake will tell you he doesn't think you should ever draft. It's got to be like Christian McCaffrey, you know. I mean, to spend. I mean, just look at Tampa. The running backs they're rolling out there. Guys that have been on the team for 45 minutes were out there getting you know, huge gains.
In Baltimore, right?
And so, that's it. Like he's been good and he's been solid. But did they need to spend a first round pick to get that production?
No, and that leads to a bigger question. And look, when you're talking about trying to every year be in championship contention, and that comes down to a big part of that's just roster construction. Like, how are you picking players? How disciplined are you in picking your players? Because that pick, like you're saying, if you could have gotten that kind of production later in the draft, you might have gotten a better player who could help you on defense now. You know, the 32nd pick in this past year's draft, this guy Joe Tryon for the Bucks, he's playing a lot for them. He's flying around, being used in different packages, outside linebacker. They love what he brings to that defense. You know, I say I've been saying this all throughout since this year started. Like, I don't understand why they have four tight ends on the team, because I'm not seeing a whole bunch of packages that are involving multiple tight ends or guys, you know, making a difference. And that could have been a situation where you could have kept a guy like Tim Ward or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same mindset. It's like, if you're always thinking about how can we get more weapons for Patrick, how can we do more stuff for Andy? Well, guess what? You gotta have other parts of your team playing well to win too, and so that's really the bigger concern for me. Isn't just how can you get more out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but what does him being here, how does that detract
right
from other parts of your team?
And I don't think anyone thinks he's a bad player. He's a good solid running back. And we wouldn't, if they had picked him in the third or fourth round, I don't think we'd be complaining about it. But it's the fact that they picked him in the first round, and now you see, wow, there's a couple of glaring weaknesses they have on the defense that may have been addressed had they spent that first-round pick on that position, whether it's another edge rusher or, like some really smart people have suggested, Antoine Winfield Jr., someone like that. Or really, you even said, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it makes me sick to give him credit, but Jeremy Chin.
Big guy, know that made you probably had to throw up in your mouth a little bit. All right, well, so let me be the bad guy here then to point something out, though.
Say a little to the bad guy.
We're gonna talk about all these places that could have been addressed with high draft picks. You mean like safety Juan Thornhill, who can't get on the field for whatever reason? Linebacker Willie Gay, who hasn't been on the field for whatever reason. Breland Speaks, you talk about an edge pass rusher. They traded up to get him. They've cut him. So, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been a disappointment as a first-round pick. I don't think there's any way you could argue against that. But he plays. What leads us to believe that had they taken a defensive player with that pick, that he'd play? Isn't that a bigger issue right now, that they've spent all these high draft picks on these guys on defense that either Spags can't or won't play?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and now maybe Willie Gay is going to get healthy and be great, because we heard he was great in camp, but he couldn't play last year. They wouldn't put him on the field.
Yeah, I'm not betting on that. It's not a one-man quick fix coming here to fix what's going on here, but you raise, again, another good big-picture point of you can't have that many highly drafted players, even going back to Dorian O'Daniel in that first draft. Yeah. A lot of those guys in that first draft, like, they haven't been able to cash in on those high picks. Now, they found guys like L'Jarius Sneed.
Yep.
You know, he was a good – but you don't have as many of those guys showing up as you have these second, third-round guys who just aren't helping your team. And when you have that happen, it's just like having a hole in your boat. You can sit there and tell yourself, well, it's still floating, but at some point it's going to go down. And the problem with what they're doing, what they're not doing with those high draft picks, is you start chasing them. And they become ghosts in your locker room, because with Frank Clark being what he is right now, guess what? If Breland Speaks had been a better player, we don't have to worry about that. If Chris Jones didn't have to play defensive end, if Breland Speaks could be a better player. You know, we're sitting here talking about Antoine Whitfield. If Juan Thornhill hadn't got hurt, you're trying to figure out how do you deal with that now. You know, and so, yeah, your point is valid. Like, and I've said this before, because when you're where the Chiefs are, you don't get great shots at the apple to fix problems. You're stuck with what you got, because it's very expensive to go out there and fix those kind of problems, especially even bigger picture, when you're paying $80 million to a guard, when you're paying $84 million to a defensive tackle, when you probably got to pay your safety about $18, $19, $20 million a year to make him happy. You know, you're not even talking about the prime positions like Tyreek Hill, like Orlando Brown Jr., who are going to cost $20 million a year more. So the budget starts to get real bloated real fast. And that comes back to when I say it all the time, the Patriots, everybody wants to say, oh, they won a dynasty because they had Tom Brady. Yeah, he was a big part of it. They also did a really good job of figuring out when to get rid of guys who were still productive veterans, and they also drafted really well over that time, over a 20-year period. They got a lot out of a lot of players, and even undrafted guys who a lot of people didn't know a lot about, but they came in and they contributed and they helped them win championships. That's how you do it. Having Patrick Mahomes isn't enough. Having a great offense isn't enough. You've got to have a really good game plan, business plan, and you've got to be able to execute it.
I mean, I think that's a little bit of cherry picking.
In what way?
Well, Clyde was Alaire, so what is that then? He plays a lot, so that's a good pick?
He's solid. I'm saying he was a luxury pick.
That running back class doesn't help him out.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Willie Gay, there's he said for whatever reason he's hurt. That's why he's not playing. He's hurt.
Yeah, but he didn't play all last
year
either.
Right. Well, they didn't know there was going to be a pandemic to shut everything down, no OTAs. Who was the third round pick in that draft?
What draft?
Which draft? 2020.
L'Jarius Sneed?
No.
Okay, he was with you before.
You're starting right tackle.
Oh, okay.
Lucas Niang.
Yeah, which who's the fourth in progress. Work in progress.
He's graded out with that top 20 right. I mean, he's starting right tackle.
Yeah.
We're talking about being on the field. Who's the fourth?
Well, I'm talking about being productive. Right. I'm not talking about just being on the field. I'm talking about guys who are helping you win games.
Fourth round pick was L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah.
I mean, fifth round pick was Michael Dana. Now, it depends on what you think of him. Are we talking about guys that are playing, guys that are, you know, not making the team versus, like, what's a bust, what's not a good draft pick? I mean, this year, Nick Bolton, he's starting.
Well, you're picking,
the other second-round pick, Creed Humphrey, he's starting.
Starting is – I will give those guys a pass right now. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the Mecole Hardmans, the Clyde Edwards-Helaires, all the guys in the 2018 draft
2018 draft was bad.
Yeah. And so those are what I'm talking about. Yeah.
There's no question about that. But I have a hard time. Okay, we compare to DK Metcalf. Mecole Hardman in the second round is not a bust.
I'm not saying he is. All I'm saying
but
is...
I mean, what are we saying about it? So, like, what are we saying? It's just...
Oh, my point is Mecole Hardman and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are both playing and contributing on a good offense. Are they the stars that we want them to be? No. But because we're picking, my defense was like, we're picking apart the Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick because it has been disappointing. Because you want a star playmaker when you have a first round pick.
I think the bigger indictment for him is the running backs that went after him.
And that happens. The same thing with Mecole Hardman. You can say, well, DK Metcalf went way after him and he's way better. But the point is, like, those guys are at least playing. And we're saying, well, they wasted that pick because they could have had a defensive player. And my only point is just, well, there's like they've taken a lot of defensive players with high draft picks, and only a few of them are actually playing. Now, maybe Willie Gay is going to be great. Maybe it's too early to know on all these guys. Maybe it's too early to know on Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well.
The most puzzling player of all of it for me is Thornhill. I don't understand why Thornhill only gets 11 snaps. Well, I don't get it.
Well, two things. One, to go back to the point I was making was that you look at their first, second, and third round picks over the last since Mahomes has been here. What you've gotten is not. Is there a star in that group? Is there anybody you would say was a star? Anybody you would say would be, okay, a high-level performing player in that group? That's the point I'm making.
Sneed.
He's a fourth-round guy. I'm talking about first, second, third. Sneed is a gem. I'm not debating that. But the first, second, and obviously there's not been a lot.
They've also traded away some of those picks, right?
Frank Clark and Orlando Brown count as part of that.
I think Meehan's going to be. I think he's
And I'll give those guys a pass. Like I said, I'll give the guys who came in who haven't played yet a pass. But for me, it's...
I think Humphrey's going to be.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't know, right? Juan Thornhill looked great in his rookie year, too. And where's he at now?
But see, that's why I don't understand. I don't understand where he's at.
What I think is happening with him, I think he lost confidence, and I think, if I had to guess, he's probably a guy who improvises a lot. If you're a ball hawk, you're usually taking chances back there. And if you got Tyrann Mathieu running around, he's very improvisational with his play. I think they like Dan Sorensen because he's where he needs to be. Now, whether he can actually make the play when he's there is a different story, but he's probably where he needs to be. And Spags loves to run all this super complicated, disguised coverage. And I'm just guessing that Juan Thornhill's the kind of guy who probably likes, hey, you know what, the guy over there, I think I can make that play. Let me go make a play. That's what I see. That's what I think is happening with him.
Maybe that's what they need, guys who can make plays. Yeah.
But the problem you run into, you have too many guys who think that way, and nobody ever talks about this. I would guarantee you that this team has more busted coverages than any team in the NFL right now. Because when they bust coverages, guys are running wide open. Marquise Brown.
Thornhill's ass wasn't on the field for that Marquise Brown. Yeah. I saw Tyrann Mathieu and Dan Sorensen looking around. Thornhill's on the sidelines. So, I mean, there's...
I mean, how many times have you seen that Tyrann Mathieu and Dan Sorensen looking at each other, like, open their eyes, like, what's going on here? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. It happens a lot because you run complicated stuff.
They can't bench Thornhill for that one, you know.
I agree.
We'll take a break. Back into this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, I mean, his arm talent, I mean, is crazy. I mean, the way he's able to throw some of these throws, it's kind of like when you throw it, you're like, oh, I don't know if that's a good throw, and then he's always hitting it perfectly in there, so it's always a great throw. So he's someone that has a lot of talent. He's learning more and more as he gets in this league, and whenever you can have success without having the knowledge, usually when you start getting more and more knowledge, you get even better.
Do you see any similarity between your game and his game at all?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. He's a little bigger than I am, but he's a big guy. He has a strong arm, and he can move around. He definitely does it in his own way, but he has a lot of success doing it.
That was Patrick Mahomes on Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. We have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio with us.
You think he's believing it now? Was that his big line in the offseason? I'll see it when I believe it.
Right.
He wasn't too big on Herbert then.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs come out for this game because, as we talked about this week, there haven't been a whole lot of, in the regular season, the Chiefs are just involved in close game after close game because, again, that's the nature of the beast. You got the target on your back. This is the biggest game for everyone in the regular season. Just look at the way the Ravens celebrated. And so you get everyone's best shot. The Chargers are coming off a pretty heartbreaking loss to the Dallas Cowboys. So, what do you expect to see Sunday at Arrowhead?
Close game. Chargers tend to play them close. I mean, when was the last time they blew them out?
Right. Well, I mean, now everyone plays them close. The last blowout the Chiefs have had in the regular season was against the Jets last year. So
Yeah, and that's partially because what we talked about earlier with just the strategy of time of possession, you know, running the offense, controlling the football. You know, again, I don't think the Chiefs are in a place where they can blow people out. If you're blowing people out, you're playing good defense. That's what leads to blowouts because you have to stop people from scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Chargers are, even though they don't run the ball as well as these other teams, they have some things that scare me. Austin Eckler going against Ben Neiman in the passing game, you know, getting some one-on-one matchups there, that's a scary proposition. Justin Herbert is, as Mahomes mentioned, a pretty good quarterback who can make some plays down the field. I suspect that if you look at the Chargers' stats, that they're going to come in here and try to keep the Chiefs from throwing the football because they're fourth in the NFL in pass defense right now, and I think no one's thrown for over more than 220 yards against them. I think the Cowboys did that in the second game, and so the Cowboys have some weapons. And so I think they're going to come in here and Clyde Edwards-Helaire get ready to run the ball again. I don't see why anybody would deviate from the way Tampa Bay played them in the Super Bowl until they prove they can stop it. I'm playing two high safeties. I'm saying run the football. I'm taking away the big plays with Tyreek Hill, and I'm making you grind it out. So I think that the Chargers can do that. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I think that they definitely are going to come in here and make it tough for the Chiefs.
Yeah, now Herbert's a stud, but if you're the opposition, the opposing offense, you got to run the ball until the Chiefs prove they can stop it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're going to hand it off and do a lot of that stuff. I mean, the scary part about that is that you give teams that don't run the ball effectively or don't consistently run it, you know, as part of their game plan, a chance to balance their offense out. And so if you give Justin Herbert a solid running game, then, yeah, you're going to have some issues because he's going to create problems for you. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are good players. Jared Cook's a good player. They got to deal with that. Until the Chiefs' defense shows they can stop people, it's going to be a close game.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and the problem is the margin for error for the Chiefs. If you have Mahomes make a bad decision, a rare bad decision, or you get a fumble from a guy like Edwards-Helaire who doesn't fumble, those have a huge impact on your chances of winning the game.
So I just was reading some analytics on Edwards-Helaire in the running game and how many times he's been asked to run the outside zone play and that basically he's not getting much yards more than expected per carry on those plays, but in other plays that you mentioned earlier, you thought maybe that he needs to be more of a power run game in the you know, up the middle type of situation. Are they misusing Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point? Do they need to change the way they are using him?
That's what I see. Now, I remember they hit Buffalo and he had that big game when they were playing two high safety. It felt like there was a lot of downhill runs in that game.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like that season opening game when they played Houston last year, that there are a lot more downhill runs in that game. You know, look, part of this, they only have so many plays anyway. I think they only had, like, I think both games, they probably only had, like, 45, 50 plays, right? They don't have a ton of.
Well, they couldn't get off the field on defense against the Ravens, so, yeah, their plays were very limited.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there has to be some of that. If you want him to be more effective, he's going to have to be a guy who probably gets 20 carries, and whether they can do that or want to do that with him, I don't know. Because at 12, 13 carries, he's pretty ordinary. At three receptions and probably three targets, he's pretty ordinary. And so, yeah, I think they're probably going to think long and hard about how they want to do that. But even so, it's a lot of this stuff is circumstantial when I watch them play because I know they are built for big plays. I know Mahomes wants to make big plays. And so even on that 75-yard touchdown pass that went to Tyreek Hill in the first game against the Browns, that was a play that was supposed to go to Byron Pringle. But they caught Cleveland in a single safety look, and Mahomes drifted right, threw it down the field, they made a play. That's part of their DNA. And so, no matter what we say about what their supporting cast did against Baltimore, end of the day, things get hard, they get behind, they need to play, he's going to one of two places, 10 and 87. And so, he's got to get himself into the mindset of, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's got to be part of that mix, too. Like, he's got to be a guy, dumping in the flat, take the check down, he makes a play for me, too. And, you know, and again, you can dial up plays, but your quarterback also has to think about what can I do as far as looking for this guy in tough situations as well.
We've got Jeff Chidi in studio. We'll get some picks for this weekend's action from Jeff after this on WHB. All right, let's get some picks for some of the better matchups of the weekend. Well, it's not a great matchup, but tonight the Panthers look to start 3-0. They're at Houston. Houston's been more competitive than we thought, but now Tyrod Taylor goes on IR. Man,
yeah, not going to be competitive tonight.
Who is? So Davis Mills is the quarterback. Who has worse injury luck than Tyrod Taylor? So Panthers, you think they roll against the Texans in Houston tonight?
Yeah. Okay. Their defense is legit. They got some serious studs up there.
All right, so let's move on to Sunday. What about Washington at the Bills?
Interesting game. Just because the Bills really came back, and even with Tua getting hurt, putting 35 on the Dolphins at home, Dolphins got a good defense. That surprised me. I will take the Bills. I think that they're going back in the right direction.
Justin Fields makes his first start.
I'll be there.
I'm going to Cleveland. All right, tell me about that.
I'm not there yet.
What do you think?
No, I mean,
I'm flying Justin Delta. Fields making a start. What do you think?
I like it. Look, I think this is a gift from the football gods for Matt Nagy in order to have an opportunity to get him out on the field and have the opportunity to take him off if he didn't like what he sees. I know that Nagy wants to stick with that blueprint that worked with Mahomes and Alex Smith here for a year, but Justin Fields is just a better option. Even if he's not as good as far as developmentally as Andy Dalton, I'm excited to see him play and see what he does in this offense with a full game and a full week of practice. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he does.
Well, I don't know who to pick here. Saints at Patriots.
I'll take the Browns in that game, by the way.
No. I assumed you were going to take the Browns there.
Okay.
Saints at Patriots.
Do we get good Jameis or bad Jameis?
Bad Jameis, you kidding me?
I'm going with bad Jameis against the Patriots. If the Panthers were able to give him some issues, I would imagine Bill Belichick's got some tricks up his sleeve as well with that defense. And, I think they go 1-2.
Okay, what about, no Tua, Dolphins at Raiders.
Raiders could be 6-1. You look at their schedule right now, what they got ahead of them. They got some very winnable games, and the way that they played against the Ravens in the second half and the way they played the Steelers on the road on a short week, I like the Steelers a lot. I think that they
you
look
said
very
Steelers.
Much like a play. I mean, excuse me, the Raiders a lot.
Right.
The Raiders, yeah. So, you see a smile on his face over there?
Excited.
He was like, Steelers! Yeah. They're kind of come back. They've come back to earth for me, but Raiders win that game.
Okay, what about probably the best matchup of the weekend, Buccaneers at Rams?
It's a good one. It's a good one. I'm going with the Bucs until they prove me wrong. Just watching them play that game against the Falcons last week, they were up 28-10. The Falcons came back to make it 28-25. They just hit overdrive, got a couple pick sixes, and next thing you know, the game's 20-point game again. So as dangerous as Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are, and I believe they beat them last year. They beat the Bucs in Tampa last year. I suspect that Tom Brady is going to give them some problems, even with Antonio Brown on COVID, the COVID list.
What about Sunday night football between the Packers and the 49ers?
Another good game. I like the Niners in that one, even though they're banged up. Running back situation is looking rough. I like what – well, you know, it's – now you got me thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll stick with them. I'll stick with the Niners in this game. As much as I want to believe Aaron Rodgers will go out there and have success, every time he's been in California lately, it's been a struggle, so I think he'll struggle again out there.
The 49ers will look to continue to prove that it doesn't matter where you get your running backs. They're having open auditions right now for running backs, on the practice squad and everywhere else that could get some meaningful playing time against the Packers because that group is once again decimated by injury. Monday night football should be interesting. The Eagles, who the Chiefs will play week 4, take on the Cowboys. They'll make a trip to Arrowhead later on this season. Eagles, I think, have been better than we thought. They blew out the Falcons. They were competitive against the 49ers. The Cowboys, they're the Legatron, straight out of Missouri Western State University, Greg Zuerlein, saved his coach for settling for the 50-plus yard field goal, but he made him look smart. So Eagles at Cowboys should be fun to watch on Monday night.
Yeah, the Eagles are better than I thought that they would be, but the Cowboys are too. And what I like is this two-headed monster they got running back now with Tony Pollard, who I'm sure is becoming a fantasy darling, even though it sucks to have to split time with Ezekiel Elliott.
Adam Kaplan said he's the best backup running back in football.
He's pretty good. You watch him play in that Chargers game.
He looks more explosive than Elliott right now.
Yeah, Zeke looks a lot slower than he used to look.
Zeke won't eat.
He's supposed to be lighter, too. He's supposed to go in like as light as he was in college.
Zeke's getting leftovers.
Wow. What you saying about Pollard? What was the question?
Should he be taking carries away from Zeke at this point?
I think he already is.
He is, yeah.
You
went over 100 last weekend.
Yeah, I think he should.
When they need big plays, that's who they're going to.
Yeah, and so that offense, I like them a lot. I like what Micah Parsons has given them in terms of flexibility. He was... If you watch that Chargers game, him coming off the edge playing defensive end was impressive. Mm-hmm. Like he was wreaking havoc. So the Cowboys, I like them.
So the Denver Broncos play the Jets. The chance to go to 3-0.
Yeah, another team with a nice light schedule early.
But
Giants, Jags, and Jets.
Yeah, but
it's not a Jags.
After that, they've got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and then Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe. This isn't the week to find out if the Broncos are for real. It's going to be the stretch after that, or does it? What do you think that they'll take care of business against the Jets?
Yeah, I saw Zach Wilson in that game against the Patriots. It was brutal. 3 picks in the first 7 pass attempts. And look, I'm sold more on the Raiders than I am on the Broncos or the Chargers right now. But I will say that when you have that kind of a stretch, and they might get Ben Roethlisberger. When he's still banged up in that Steelers game. Like, their offensive line has become, obviously, it was going to be an issue anyway, but it's a bigger issue now. Yeah. So, they got them and the Raiders are in a great position to really threaten the Chiefs in the first half of the season.
Jeff, thank you for the time. Have an enjoyable trip to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Always.
Should be a good game. It should be way more excited than it would have been with Andy Dalton playing quarterback.
Do me a favor and check out that rookie they took, Felton, out of the 6th round. He's my fantasy sleeper this week, so I picked him up. He scored that 33-yard touchdown last year, and they said he's playing running back and receiver. He's going to be in the slot with Jarvis Landry out.
Oh, 25?
Dimitri Felton, yes.
25? Okay. Look at you, man.
If you get there early, see how much he's going to play and let me know if I need to start him at flex. Yeah. You know, if you can,
like the Beasties boys say, he's crafty.
Right.
You know?
I just see, hey, Jake, it's a deep dive into the waivers, okay? But I like what I saw in his 2 touches. Jeff, thank you so much for the time, man.
All right, guys. Hopefully better feelings next time I see you.
That's right. Chiefs are going to beat the Chargers, said Jeff Chedia. All right, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.